Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk, episode 107. What's up, everybody? I'm Gabe Jones.
I am Josiah.
And we are on location once again, finally.
13 Palm Trees Podcast Studio.
Yes.
Everything is Clorox wipes. I did it myself.
Yes. We did not ingest any of it, but we are here, and we are happy to do this for the first time together since March.
I haven't seen you in a while.
It's been a while. So, yeah. Some of us haven't shaved in a while. Some of us haven't gotten haircuts in a while.
Some of us haven't bathed in a while. Yeah. I'm not accusing anybody, but...
Not me. I took one today.
I did too on the way here.
It's my weekly shower.
It's too hot not to shower.
It's getting hot, and it's supposed to be in the 90s this week, so...
That's rough.
That's not good. Hey, guys, we got a special episode for you today. We haven't done this in a while. We did this a little bit earlier in the year, and it was... Well received, so we decided to do it again.
Here we are.
We did it with Audio Adrenaline, we did it with Kevin Max, and now we are doing it with a band called House of Heroes.
I'm so excited. You might not be able to tell because I am actually exhausted right now, but House of Heroes, what a band.
Yes. So we're going to go through the history of House of Heroes. We're going to go down... through their releases in order, and then at the end of the show, we are going to give our individual top fives.
Top fives?
Top five albums.
What about songs?
I just can't do that.
We'll just throw out some legendary songs.
Yeah, I mean, every time we go through a release, I'm going to...
We did that for Audio Adrenaline, and it took me probably 45 minutes to narrow it down.
That was a bummer. That was tough. Anyway, before we head into that, we're going to talk about our Patreon page. It's patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. For as low as $1 a month, you can join our team. And we're still going to provide the bonus episodes at the $1 a month level while we are experiencing this pandemic. And this week, we are talking about a House of Hero release. And it's one of our favorites. It's called The End Is Not the End. We'll talk about it a little bit in the show, but we're going to go more in depth on the bonus episode. So you want to check that out at patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. Everything is about House of Heroes today.
That's good. It's funny because we've been in our houses for so long.
We have. That's a good point.
Yes. So it's fitting.
Social distancing has made us heroes, I guess.
I mean, I'm a hero.
I think we're still 6 feet apart as we're doing this.
We are. Saving the world 6 feet at a time.
Yes. So, we're just going to jump into it. House of Heroes.
Okay.
How about that?
Episode one, part one.
Ugh.
Go ahead.
This will be tough. We're going to try to keep this under an hour.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah, House of Heroes. So, a little history about the band. They started in 1996 at Hilliard Davidson High School, and that's located in Hilliard, Ohio.
Yes, Ohio, hotbed of music.
Yes, Hilliard is a suburb of a city called Columbus, Ohio.
Some very famous bands have come from Columbus.
Yes, bands like, well, not all of them are from Columbus, but 21 Pilots, Sanctus Real, Reliant K,
House of Heroes,
John Rubin, House of Heroes.
Just to name more a recently, few. I know. Well, no, sorry, you know my memory. So, just as a reminder for everyone out there, this is going to be an episode where we draw a lot of things from memory.
Yes,
it's going to be rough for me.
Ulysses Grant, you know, a lot of people come from Ohio.
Yeah,
so. Speaking of that, those documentaries on him are awesome. Anyway, House of Heroes, they started out as a punk rock band, if you can believe that.
I can believe that.
And they were originally called, their first band name, Plan B.
I did not know about Plan B.
Yes. And the original lineup was Tim Skipper, guitars and lead vocals, A.J. Babcock, bass and backing vocals, and Nate Rothacker, who played the drums. Tim and A.J., they stuck around a while. In 1998, Colin Ragsby replaced Nate Rothacker on the drums, and the band had a name change. Can you guess what that name change is?
I do know about this. That is No Tag Backs.
That's right. I'm impressed.
I did know about No Tag Backs, and when I was doing my research for this episode, it was one of those things where you're like, oh yeah, I remember, kind of like Switchfoot was Chin Up before they were Switchfoot. I was like, oh, I remember No Tag Backs.
I think Bleach was Muffin.
Yeah, there's a number of different bands that just for whatever reason, especially
last year's model was this year's model, and
last year's model. Shout out to Brendan. But, I don't know if No Tag Backs was trademarked and they were just some guys that were hanging out. And once they started to get bigger, they're like, well, shoot, we can't have that name anymore. Or maybe they just felt like changing it. Or
it just sounds like a name that may have already been taken, maybe.
Yeah, it's names change.
Same thing with Plan B.
Names change.
They're just kind of generic. House of Heroes was.
Well, House of Heroes, I actually found that there is something else called House of Heroes.
Really?
When I was doing research, and I forget what it was exactly, but it was music related. I don't think it was a band.
It's like a reality show.
We're
like firefighters.
I'm gonna Google it. You talk, okay. And I'm gonna Google it.
So No Tag Backs actually had a release called 10 Months, and that was released in 2001. I'm sure that somewhere out there, there is probably. This probably exists somewhere out there. I couldn't find it. It's possible that some of the songs on there ended up on their first House of Heroes release. I'm not really sure.
No. I looked that up today.
Okay.
I think the album's called 10 Months.
Yes, that's what I said.
I was looking stuff up. I told you this.
Oh.
But I listened to... They have the song 10 Months, and they have another song called Vital Sign, I think.
Okay.
I listened to both of those.
Really?
It gave me like a Slick Shoes kind of vibe.
Okay.
And it was, you could tell there was some House of Heroes there, but you could also tell that they maybe were just not in their wheelhouse yet.
Sure.
But it was surprisingly good for the bad quality video I saw on YouTube.
Yeah. In 2001, I mean, that was kind of, you know, MXPX was still pretty big then. Slick Shoes, like you said, I mean, they were big around that era. So I could see that. I'm not sure what happened to evolve their sound. You know, they were pretty young then, I would say, if they started in high school.
House of Heroes Worship. Yeah, there is a worship group called House of Heroes. And they
did it. Like, how long have they been around?
I don't even know. I just see, because when I was looking up for songs like from their No Tag Backs, I kept coming across House of Heroes Worship, and I believe it's called House of Heroes TV on YouTube. I don't know anything about them. I just know
weird.
If you're looking up House of Heroes, make sure you're on the right one, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that have not heard of House of Heroes.
And we'll get into that, by the way.
Yeah.
That's weird. I'm glad you said that. I didn't know that.
I didn't either until...
I mean, you would think a worship team would at least know.
I mean,
just Google it.
I don't know.
Hey, guys, let's Google this to see if it's taken.
Well, that's why they put the TV at the end. It's changed a little bit.
Anyway, so... Started out as Plan B, changed their name to No Tag Backs. Someone told them, hey, guys, come up with a better name.
Here they are.
And so somebody, I don't know how, but they came up with House of Heroes. And I would say that was a winning choice there.
I concur.
Yeah. So 2003, that was their first release as House of Heroes, and it was called What You Want Is Now. It was on a record label called Vanishing Point Records. And it, like I said, it came out in 2003. Jesus Freak Hideout gave it 4 stars.
This is the first time that House of Heroes appeared on my radar. And
okay. Yeah, I want to agree with you because, as we mentioned before, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but as we mentioned before, Columbus is a big area for music. And a lot of the reason for that is there's a radio station called Radio U.
Yes.
And they take chances on bands. Like, I remember hearing Thousand Foot Crutch before they were signed on there. I remember hearing a lot of bands on there before they were signed.
21 Pilots is another very good example. Yep. House of Heroes.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I remember hearing this. I mean, I don't remember, like, it's vague, but I remember it.
I remember Mercedes Baby specifically because it was on TVU's music video station, and they were on the right. top 10 for a while.
And they ended up redoing that on a future release. So
I like the original version
I do too.
Better.
Yes, I do too. I think they're, especially at the end, I think the breakdown of that is an incredible. This was one of those albums, and this kind of rings true for me on a lot of House of Heroes albums where the first half of the album is amazing.
Yeah, Grand Slam.
And then
kind of tails off.
Kind of tails off at the end. But then there's like a song at the end that it's like, oh.
Yeah, deep cut.
Yeah.
And that's another thing I noticed when I was going through. And probably one of the deep cuts on this one is Kamikaze Baby.
Yeah.
It's second. No. I mean, it's kind of buried there in the middle. But definitely Mercedes Baby and Kamikaze Baby are the two songs that probably jump off this album for me. And I mean, they have an instrumental song, and I mean, you talked about the breakdown in Mercedes Baby. You can kind of tell they are very music based, if that makes sense. They have.
It would have to be.
Well, shut up. I mean, you hear a punk rock song or a rock song, and you get your verse, chorus, maybe a bridge. These guys kind of made it a point on this album to, okay, and here's where we're just going to go nuts on an instrumental and have some fun. And that came through in their live shows as well, because they could just tear a house down. Much like if you've ever heard of the band Children 18-3, another three-piece band that is just, they're all phenomenal musicians. That's when Children 18-3 first came out, they're a different style, but I was like, wow. This is the best three-piece band I've ever seen since Switchfoot, House of Heroes, and now Children 18-3.
Yeah, even when you hear this album, you can hear some traces of their like punk rock beginnings.
Yes,
and I really dig that. But you can also tell that they've matured because there's so many complex breakdowns in a lot of these songs that I think shows their maturity at a young age.
Yes.
And
I mean, if you think about Plan B and No Tagbacks, they were probably in high school, if not just out of high school.
Yeah.
So I don't know how old they are during this album, but they're still, I mean, if you watch the TV video, they're just not very old at all.
No.
And they were knocking it out of the park early.
So a couple songs I liked on here, Julia.
Yeah,
you said Mercedes Babies. I love The Drugs Is Drugs, and I would say for me, this was kind of their beginning, and well, of course it was their beginning, but for me, like there was a lot of buzz with this band.
This album got them noticed by some important people.
Yes.
Which leads into the next album. And we don't have to jump there right away. But this album is good enough that the right people sat up and took notice.
Okay. So here's where we start to get into the why wasn't House of Heroes bigger?
Yes.
Why didn't a lot of people notice them? Like, So this is kind of where this begins for me. So they got signed to Goatee Records, and I have a lot of respect for Goatee Records.
Yes.
They've done a lot of good things over the years. House of Heroes, I would say, was probably their biggest botch.
That's fair.
I think it was their biggest botch. When I say that, I mean they...
Not necessarily they ruined House of Heroes. Like, you can see a band that signs to a record label. They change their sound. They change different things. But this is where they had gold in House of Heroes. And, I mean, you can think of...
like Reliant K, for instance. They had crossover somehow. And House of Heroes had that potential. And for some reason...
And you think of bands that were popping off in this era, like Reliant K and Switchfoot and like even Lifehouse. And House of Heroes was right there, same level of talent, if not more talent, than some of these bands that are just at the top of the industry. And they... I don't know if it was just lack of promotion or... I don't know what it was, but they didn't really hit it like those other bands did.
So, April 26, 2005, they released their first album on Goatee Records. It was a self-titled release that Jesus Freak Hideout gave 4 stars. It was produced by Orrin Thornton, which is a kind of a familiar name. He was in Johnny Q Public. I think he worked with Bleach. And this album did not get any attention at all. I don't even remember it, to be honest with you.
I don't even know if I found it when I was researching for this.
No, I mean, it's gone. It's completely gone. And so I don't, and we'll get to the album that it ended up turning into later. But like, this is what I mean. There were so many delays with releasing this album. When they finally did release it, they didn't tour it. Like, they didn't set it up to have a tour afterwards. And then it was it's just like nobody noticed it because there was no kind of marketing behind it. Nobody noticed it.
Yeah. And I couldn't tell you one song off of it because I literally could not find a track list for it.
Well, I will tell you.
Okay, you maybe are better at research than I am.
This will lead into their next album that came out on May 2nd, 2006.
Hmm.
And it is called Say No More.
I know about this one.
Okay, so the track list for the House of Heroes album and the Say No More album is basically identical.
Okay.
So basically what they did was they re-released the album, and they re-released it on their Mono versus Stereo imprint that's on... It's part of Goatee, but it's a different name. And they kind of fixed a couple things. They added some tracks. They redesigned the artwork to make it look a lot better. They marketed it. They released some songs to radio, and they put a tour together for them. And what do you know? People noticed.
Yeah.
And so I think the first song I remember hearing off this album was a song called "Serial Sleepers." It was probably because they made a video to it.
They did make a video to it, and that's one of the singles that they released for it, I believe.
Right.
And I just remember some of the vocal range he had on Serial Sleepers, and just that song is catchy, and it's not odd in a bad way, but if you're listening to the radio, generally... from one song to the next, songs sound the same because you're listening to either rock station or worship station or country station, God forbid country station. But this one, just, you could tell there's just something different about the way that they did things. And I really like that about that song.
They, so with this album, they became, they started to capture the House of Heroes sound for me. and Serial Sleepers, and so many other songs on this album. When you look at their influences, I think one band that they list is Queen, and you can totally notice that sound on a lot of just the way that they record their backing vocals, the way that they record their harmonies, the way they record their guitar. Like, they do these solos where there's, like, harmonizing guitar solos, just the way that Queen did it. And there are so many good tracks on here. We mentioned Serial Sleepers. I love the first track, Buckets for Bullet Wounds. Friday Night, The Invisible Hook. These are so many.
They have the remake of Mercedes Baby on here.
They're not as good.
It's still great, but it's not as good. Metaphor in Parenthesis is one of my favorites.
Okay.
Make a Face Like You Mean It. I feel like, as you mentioned before, some of their albums are just like first four or five songs. You're like, okay, these are on my playlist, my forever favorite playlist. Yeah. And then it tails off towards the end. I did not get that from this album. This was one of their more complete. Like, at the end, they have Suicide Baby and Angels and Top Hats. Even You Are the Judas of the Cheerleading Squad. I think that this is one of their, like you said, this is not quite peak House of Heroes sound, but this is maybe because they already had a practice release of this album. They put together, top to bottom, a fantastic album.
The only difference, I think, between the self-titled release that came out in 2005 and the 2006 release, Say No More, was the inclusion of You Are the Judas of the Cheerleading Squad. So
some of these songs may appear in some of my top five lists when we mention some of those.
Yeah, that will be fun. So I would say this was probably the first time that, like, this era was the first time I saw them live. And they were so good. You know what they remind me of was kind of like Switchfoot starting out when they were a three-piece. And I just remember, you know, even Comrades reminds me of it. When you see three people on stage and still like the stage presence that they give off, even though they're all playing instruments, and at the same time being able to produce a high-quality sound, but also the volume that comes from them, that, you know, sometimes when you only have three instruments, there's parts to songs that kind of feel empty, and that was not the case with them.
And when you say volume, you don't necessarily mean the sound of the speaker. You mean when there's a three-piece band, normally you're lacking a rhythm guitar, you might be lacking a bass guitar, you might be lacking a keyboard. You might be lacking just a number of different things that kind of fills in the sound of a band.
Right.
So you don't get that from House of Heroes. You get just if you did not know they were only three guys, I mean, you'd be surprised just the way that they present their product.
I would completely agree. And
you got a screen loading over there?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I figured.
So Buckets for Bullet Wounds, I would say it's probably, I was trying to think of my favorite. I think that's probably my favorite song.
Invisible Hook is up there as well.
Okay.
And then, just this one is, as the kids say, a banger. If you have not listened to House of Heroes, this might be the one you want to start with. I think I don't know. I feel like there's going to be a lot of people that listen to this that have never heard of House of Heroes.
Yeah, and their very first lyric out of the gate on this album that kind of is still relevant: shut up if you want to get paid.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
All right, so that takes us to their next album. Do you have anything else to say about this?
No. Next album, let's do it.
All right, The End Is Not the End. Here we go again with this botch, okay?
I'm ready.
So, The End Is Not the End was released in the fall of 2008. but it wasn't released until into the retail, like, stores and retail packaging. Like, you couldn't buy it on CD until March of 2009.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Why is that a problem? Well, you got to remember, this was in 2008. Well, I believe the year Facebook was invented. Somewhere.
It was before
in that general area.
But there was no streaming then.
There's not a way, like, YouTube wasn't what it is today.
Yeah.
You got on the radio, and you got, I mean, LimeWire was a big deal maybe back in that day, but there wasn't a way where you could just debut it on Spotify or Apple Music or anything like that. Even if those things were in the infancy of their existence, that's to not have physical copies ready in 2008. Just not good.
And kind of all of that, you know, this may have something to do with that. This was kind of like the bottom, like the very bottom of the music business, like this time period. Like, this was when a lot of, this was like the time period where music was not making any money at all.
Yeah.
Well, very little.
Well, I mentioned LimeWire. The only music that was being downloaded was not making bands any money.
So, I mean, it's possible they just did not have the money to do that. But if you don't have the money, then,
I mean, I guess,
what are you doing?
If you have the music to put out, I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway, that's off my soapbox for this one. Mark Townsend was the producer of this album, and this album is absolutely beautiful. It is so good. There's like a common theme through the whole album of like a World War II, and it's so amazing. This is not going to be their last album that has like a concept throughout the whole album, and that's one reason I really like House of Heroes as well, is they really think about track one to the very end, and they want it to tell a story. You can't just listen to one song and get the whole story. You have to listen to the whole thing. And maybe that's another reason why they weren't as big, because this was starting to become, I mean, it wasn't quite there yet, but it was starting to push towards what it is now, where there's just singles and, you know,
not really full albums.
Yeah.
A concept album doesn't necessarily happen. We've mentioned 21 Pilots a few times already, but they're one of the few bands out there right now that has created a story arc that people follow, but 21 Pilots also has their singles.
And I mean, you can say that, but like, their two of their most successful songs ever were singles away from their albums, Heathens and the one that they just released, Level of Concern.
That's true.
So I don't know. I'm trying to make sense in my head why they weren't bigger, especially with this release.
I know this album was, it came right out of the box with the song If. And I'm not going to say I was let down, but it was different than what I expected. That song is a catchy jingle, and when I listened, I love that song. Love the song If.
Yeah.
But I just remember thinking, you never know where a band is going to go from album to album. And I really enjoy some of the rock elements that House of Heroes brings. Mm. And I think that's another reason that we both enjoy this band so much. They have different elements that, like, that you enjoy and that I enjoy. And it's kind of in the middle of where our music tastes are. And If is a fantastic, catchy song. And the next song that they do is called Lose Control. Mm. And it might be the heaviest song that they've ever written. And it just smacks you right in the mouth. And I remember seeing them live once, and he said, "Hey guys, we wrote this heavy metal song, and I hope you enjoy it." And they just ripped it apart on the stage. And I was like, oh, okay, it's going to be that kind of album. And I know what you're thinking. I hate heavy metal music, because most of you listeners do. But it's not that. It's just the intensity of the music is just cranked up in that song, and it's telling a story, and it's, like Gabe said, setting a tone for the rest of the album.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many songs on here. Like I said, it kind of tells a story in the setting of World War II, which I'm a history buff, so that kind of just is cherry on top for me. Codename Raven, which is like the story of a French spy. By Your Side, which is... I was watching a movie called 1917, which is about guys that were like drafted together.
Brotherhood.
And they lived through some of the most gruesome things. And that the song By Your Side is kind of trying to look like they're trying to look past what they're living through right now, and they're trying to look like to the next part of their life. And
which a lot of people might be able to relate with right now.
Right. And, you know, not knowing if they're even going to make it that far. And then it kind of like, and by the way, like a lot of times with House of Heroes albums, like when they hit that acoustic point in their album, that's kind of when I start getting lost.
Yeah.
But this is not the case with this album. You know, Sooner or Later, which is amazing. Babies Are Red is, I think, one of the most fun songs ever. Singing about someone that they fell in love with that is might be a communist.
Yeah.
Communist. I mean, it's just such a fun album. So creative. I think, like, in the Valley of the Dying Sun, there's just so many. It just has like four or five songs inside of it.
And that's where you talk about Queen.
Yes, exactly.
Where, I mean, it doesn't necessarily sound like
Queen. I mean, I can hear
like
Bohemian
Queen.
Rhapsody in part of that song.
If you listen to Bohemian Rhapsody, you're like, okay, this is four or five different songs rolled into one.
Yes.
If you listen to In the Valley of the Dying Sun, it's the same thing where I don't know how else to describe it. It's four songs, and you just got to go listen to it. Leave You Now is another song that I really enjoy. It's kind of a laid-back, I would say laid-back song compared to, it comes right after Lose Control. And then one that you didn't mention that is probably one of my favorites on this album is Field of Daggers.
Yep.
And that's another one. Field of Daggers is the perfect slow burn song where they build a little bit, they hit the chorus, they come back down, they build a little bit more, they build a little bit more, and then right at the end, instrumental, kind of like they did for Mercedes Baby back, is that two albums ago or just one album? Two albums ago.
Yeah.
And they just build to this giant crescendo, and I like that song is phenomenal. I love Field of Daggers.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to what I was talking about, how there's so many albums, the House of Heroes, where they end the album like really well. And
Audio Adrenaline, who we talked about before, is really good at that.
I was actually going to read some lyrics to the song. In this unending war, I've lost so many brothers. The coldest hours come before morning with every drop of blood spilled in this field of daggers. Bring many sons of heaven to glory until your reigns, O God. Bring forth your colored beauty. Confirm the hopes of nations in longing. I see a new day coming, maybe tomorrow. Woe to the king of nothing. This album, I can't say enough about it.
That line, I see a new day coming, and then it's maybe tomorrow, is such a deep line because I don't know. It's one of the things where you're like, okay, today sucks.
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow will be better. But at the same time, today sucks. Is tomorrow ever going to come? Are we ever going to? Because you can never make it to tomorrow. It's physically impossible to get to tomorrow. So it's just this retrospect on the entire album. It's not the last song on the album, but it's, I've been through this. I've lost this. We're coming out. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. And we're getting there, but are we getting there?
Yeah.
And it's just, like I said, maybe, I don't know if it's my favorite song on the album, but it's maybe the best song on the album.
Hmm. And, you know, if you ever read like a World War II biography or take an account of somebody that fought in it or suffered in a concentration camp, there's like, not always the case, but a lot of times you'll read about people that have this underlying hope that there will be a tomorrow, no matter how dark the day was or how bleak the future even looks. People still have a sense of trying to find that light at the end of the tunnel, and that's kind of what this album is even about.
Yeah, and if you ever sat and talked to a guy that fought in World War II, I know that, I mean...
Yeah, we just celebrated, or...
Normandy.
I don't know if celebrated is the right word, but...
Remembered.
D-Day is, you know, I've talked to so many veterans over the years, but when I talk to somebody that was there that day, it's just, there's goosebumps.
It's weird, because you think, I mean, of course, these people are older in life, and we had the good fortune of, when we lost our grandpa, he was in the same room as someone that had been there.
Yeah.
And that's what he wanted to talk about. He's like, guys, this is where we come from. And he just had stories that would blow your mind. And one of the more famous stories is a guy from West Virginia. And I can't think of his name right now. But he was one of the people where, if you hear him talk, people are going down to his left and right. And he's in there by himself, smoking out bunkers and just without... I can't think of his name. I know you know his name.
Paul.
No, not Paul. Paul is who
the guy,
is the guy from that was roomed with our grandpa. But there's another guy that is from West Virginia. He's famous for just some of the things that he did, where he single-handedly disarmed like a number of different bunkers. Mm. And you hear him talk about it, and he's like... hopeful, and he's like, yeah, we were doing this, and it was just... But you think about the story, and some bad dudes that could just run into the beach and come out the other side. And I don't know, that's kind of hopeful. I don't know, I'm kind of getting off on a tangent here, but like you said, history buff, this album kind of brings that out, just the feeling. And like we talked about, Field of Daggers, just I see a new day coming, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah. So we'll talk about more about this album. We're going to dive in maybe a little bit more song by song on the bonus episode for this album. So if you want to check out more about The End Is Not The End, check out our bonus episode, patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. Moving on our fun journey through the discography of House of Heroes, the year is 2009. They released 3 EPs that year. They released a Acoustic End EP, which this had 3 tracks on it: New Moon, Ghost, and If. And then they released a House of Heroes Meets the Beatles EP, which had 3 tracks on it: Can't Buy Me Love, It Won't Be Long, Ola Di Obla Da.
I think Can't Buy Me Love is probably my favorite off that.
It's, yes, me too. I agree. And they killed it live, too. And then House of Heroes presents the Christmas classics, another 3 songs: All I Want for Christmas Is You, Silent Night, and O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. So that's kind of what they were doing in 2009. You can go back and listen to some of those. We're not going to talk too much about it. But, yeah, I think it's worth noting, they absolutely killed Can't Buy Me Love.
That's a great, great song.
Yeah, that is great.
They did another famous cover. What year did they do that?
We'll talk about
it. Okay.
All right.
I just know people might want to know.
So, it's on my list, don't worry. 2010, they released an album called Suburba, which is the follow-up to the much, much loved The End Is Not The End. Jesus Freak Hideout gave it 4.5 stars. It was released August 3rd, 2010. This is the fun era of House of Heroes. There's a guy named Josh Dunn that played drums for them at this time. I don't know if any of you guys have heard of him. He plays with 21 Pilots now.
He is one of the 21 Pilots.
Yes, and actually, I didn't know this until I was doing my research. They did, speaking of The End Is Not the End, they did a concert for that, 3 years ago, 2 years ago?
I knew about this and I could not make it. They played it.
It sold out instantly.
Front to back.
And Josh Dunn played drums for a song on this album called God Save the Foolish Kings, which they did in their encore.
Yeah, that was not on the original album that they played front to back. But then they came back and did an encore, as bands normally do.
Yes. And God Save the Foolish Kings was on Suburba that we're about to talk about. A lot of people will look at that song as the best.
Well, before you go on, he is saying Suburba and not Suburbia or Suburban. And there's a story behind that. Do you know that story? Their hometown, they mentioned, because people said, why is it just Suburba? And I said, well, we have a place in our town. It's called, the Suburban Building, except the N fell off of that building.
Oh, okay.
So it was just the Suburba Building, and they thought that was kind of funny, and that is why they named this album Suburba instead of, like, something else, I guess. So, yeah, if you're looking up this album, make sure you spell Suburban without the N.
Yeah. So, what do you think about this album?
I don't know. Now, and what I don't mean that in, like, a bad way. I just think after The End Is Not the End,
hard to follow up.
That's a hard act to follow.
Yeah.
And God Save the Foolish Kings is a great, great song, but it might be the only song that, like, I remember. And not that it's not that there are not other good songs, but there that's maybe the only one that was on the level of The End Is Not the End.
Okay, so let me tell you a story about a rumor that I've heard about this.
Tell me about it, and I'll tell you some fake news that I thought about this album for the longest time.
So Goody Records was like, okay, so we want you guys to be successful, so we're going to ask you to record a song that we could pitch to some radio stations.
Okay.
And that song ended up being Constant, which is about the show Lost.
Okay. I did not know that.
Yes. And that's a good song. And, you know, there's a couple other songs on here I like. I like Relentless.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's
Love Is for the Middle Class. Burn Me Down is a killer ending to this album. That's one of that's another example of them killing the ending of an album.
Leave them remembering.
But
God Save the Foolish Kings, that we've mentioned a few times, is featuring Stephanie Smith.
Yes.
Who I'm not necessarily familiar with, but until yesterday when I was reading about this, I thought it was the guy from The Rocket Summer. Have you ever heard of The Rocket Summer?
Well, you know Stephanie is now Stephanie Skipper.
Interesting.
She married Tim Skipper, and they're in a band called Copper Lily together now.
And I'm not saying she sounds like a man. I'm just saying that.
And she was on she was on one of those America's Got Talent shows, like, over the course, like, recently, within the last couple years.
But, I mean, she has a great voice.
Yes.
She just sounds really similar to the guy from The Rocket Summer.
Okay.
Do you remember them?
Not really.
They were a bigger band. And
I remember hearing back, about them, but
I don't, probably around this era, probably a few years before this, but they had a guy that, he had a higher pitched voice. It wasn't a bad voice, but it was just another thing that kind of stood out. So until yesterday, I did not realize that that was not him on this song, but I thought it was like a cool little collaboration they did. And I was like, oh, it's good to see that guy's still doing stuff, even though Rocket Summer's no more.
So, I'm just going to read a couple lyrics from Constant, the song I talked about earlier. I prayed for the sun, some guidance, some truth, some glimpse of the things to come. With only your song, your love made me strong when all hope was gone. I really like that lyric. I pray for relief, but relief doesn't come, just the will to press on. With only your song, your love makes me strong when all hope is gone. So, I mean, that song almost could have been on The End Is Not the End.
Yes.
but you know, when you find out, you know, according to the rumor and innuendo, that song was about the show Lost. I just thought that was kind of funny.
Well, and I'll mention, like I said, this one kind of, in retrospect, it didn't really land on my radar. Another reason was because I was deep in college and I didn't really have much time to listen to music like I used to, where The End Is Not the End came out when I was in high school, like my senior year. So going back and listening to this album in preparation for this podcast, I was impressed with this album. And I know I've kind of said that I don't remember much about this album, but that might be on me more than on them.
Yeah, I mean, I think the era also hurts. I think this was, you know, I mentioned the music industry was, this was right before, and I'll talk about this with the next album. This was right before streaming started.
Yes.
Do you have anything else to say about Suburba? Because that's pretty much all I have.
I think that this has earned some extra listens from me.
Okay.
If we were to have this podcast next year, this time, I might know more about the album. So it's good enough that I was like, okay, I was kind of earmarking songs that I liked about it. And I actually wrote some down. Hold.
Okay.
Hold, please.
So, 2010 was, I want to say Spotify came out in 2011. And I can't confirm that, but it was around that time. And the only reason I know that's because that's when my playlist on Spotify start.
I did not.
So.
Did not write down any. I wrote down for the next four albums, but.
Okay. All right, so we'll go on to the next album. And so it's an album called Cold Hard Want.
Mm-hmm.
It came out July 10th, 2012. Jesus Freak Hideout gave it 4.5 stars. And as I said before, this was the first album that I had streaming for. So I listened to this album a lot more than I did Suburba.
Yeah.
And that might be why I like it more. But I also think that, I don't know, I think there's a lot more, I think this is one of the more, radio-friendly albums.
Yeah.
And I mean that in a good way. Like, I think there's a lot of catchy stuff. Touch This Light is one of my favorite House of Heroes songs of all time. There's a lot of, and I don't think it has the strength of a total album that The End Is Not the End has, but I feel like this was a stronger, they regathered themselves after Suburba and this was the result.
Yeah, and I agree with the radio friendly thing. We've talked about some of their songs being a little odd. We've talked about some of their songs being four different songs in one.
Just radio friendly.
Yeah, and they kind of stood out in a good way.
And you have to look at it in the context of when these albums came out. They may have been bigger if they were out today putting out these songs.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's possible.
It's a solid album. Probably not one of my favorites, just based on some of their other albums are some of my favorites of all time over any band. And so this is, I know Remember the Empire is a song that I liked. And then also Comfort Trap is another song that I liked on this album.
Hmm. So one of my favorite songs, I talked about Touch This Light, Remember the Empire. Let's look at these lyrics.
Okay,
see
do
if
it.
Any of this sounds relevant today.
Do it.
Here they threaten with murder and bribe us with peace. Here they treat us like slaves and convince us we're free. There's no turning back once enough is enough. We can't, but we must. So stand up, what choice have they given us? Oh, stand up, fight with us and fight for love. Remember the empire, remember your home, remember the empire, tear the king from the throne.
So,
wow.
I especially like the lyric fight with love.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we haven't really addressed what's going on in the world today because we're trying to make a distraction from what's going on in the world today. We probably will address it in the future.
We will.
But fight with love is something I feel like a lot of people have lost sight of in today's world before they hit send on that status or tweet or whatever text. the case may be. There's a lot of unfriend me now if you think this, and I hate you, and there's name calling and all this stuff going on. Fight with Love is an important part of that song, and like you said, it's very relevant today. So that's just my thought. If you're out there fighting the good fight, just remember, fight with love.
Yeah, I mean, this album for me, I think, is a notch above Suburba. And I think it was, I don't know, we'll see how I rank this, but I think it was, you know, when I listened to it recently getting ready for this show, it was better than I remembered.
Good.
And so that helps. So anyway, moving on.
Hit me.
They released, House of Heroes released a B-sides EP called the Knockdown Dragouts. That's an awesome B-sides name.
I agree.
So they released this on April 30th, 2013. And I cannot confirm or deny this, but I believe that, and I can't, like I said, I can't confirm or deny this, but I have a feeling that they had one record left on the contract for Goatee Records, and they decided, you know what, we're just going to put together a couple songs we've not released. We're going to put together a couple songs that we've only released as singles, like Lovesick Zombie, and we're going to put some songs from our Acoustic End EP and our Meet the Beatles EP. And hey, since this is Goatee Records, we'll put Day by Day, our DC Talk cover, on here, which is amazing.
Yes. So this was in the era, I know some of the songs that I wrote down here, The Young and the Brutal, I like that song. And then the rest of it, like you said, was just, they had some acoustic stuff, which I liked. And then maybe the star of this album is Day by Day, where was it Goatee Records that released the Freaked album?
Yes.
Where they just had a whole bunch of Goatee bands cover Jesus Freak, the album.
Yeah.
And House of Heroes was awarded Day by Day. And if you have not heard House of Heroes' version of Day by Day,
it's phenomenal.
It is. Now,
they make it their own.
This, I know people will say, be mad, but it brings up the argument, is this better than DC Talk's version of Day by Day? And I'm not saying that it is. I mean, you can go listen to the Freaked album yourself, and you can say, okay, I hated that version. I did not like that version. that one was bad. And then you get to Day by Day, and you're like, wait a minute, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And so if I know there's a lot of people, because we're the Decent Christian Talk podcast, they're big DC Talk fans. If you
myself included
listen to one song that we suggest today, go listen to Day by Day, and I promise you that you will go listen to more House of Heroes after you listen to that song.
I agree. It was probably the highlight of that album, the Goatee release. There's another song or two that were good, was good, but that was probably the best. So that moves us on to the post-Goatee Records career.
It does.
Of House of Heroes. And unfortunately, it brings us close to the end of House of Heroes.
Indeed it does.
So before we get into their last release, they released two EPs. They released an EP in August 19th of 2014 called Smoke.
Yes.
Jesus Freak Kyle gave it 4 stars. I don't remember very much from this. And then Hark, I think it's called Hark the House of Heroes Sing.
Yes.
Came
so that's
out that year too.
That's your Christmas album, and you can take it or leave it.
I think it was only 3 songs.
I don't remember anything about that album, but if I were to listen to that album, I'm sure they did a good job on those songs. So but it is a Christmas album. I might need to pick that up. Smoke, I remember Bottle Rocket, The Worst Kind of Gods, and Wake Up Screaming, which I don't know if Wake Up Screaming was their most famous song, but that's probably the one I remember the most from that. It might have been a Radio Use single, or who knows. That's just when I was re-listening to this, I thought, I recognize that song. And like you said, it was kind of like, it kind of went unnoticed.
Yep.
But when I was listening to it, I was like, wow, okay. We've talked about how they kind of got away from the House of Heroes sound and they were getting more radio friendly. I feel like this EP was kind of like, okay, but we're back now.
Yeah.
And that leads right into their next album.
Yeah, I think you could tell that Goatee was trying to mold them to being more radio friendly, which, in my opinion, there were some hits and misses with that.
And it doesn't even mean that they were saying, House of Heroes, you sound bad. They were saying, hey, this is what we're good at, and this is what we think is going to be successful.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sometimes you only hear about when record labels do something like that, and it's bad. But also sometimes record labels will do that, and that's when you get your biggest hits. So that might have been an experiment that kind of missed with Goatee Records, but I mean, I don't blame them for trying.
You know, and we've talked, you know, one of the bands that we interviewed way back when we just did the website was Jeremy Spring from a band in Kansas.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was in that era, too, of a rock band that Goatee Records just did not know what to do with. And he talked to me about his frustrations with they just didn't know what to do with them. And
I mean, and that happens in other walks of life, too. I know there's no baseball right now, but the Pirates are notorious for getting a pitcher that can pitch 100 miles an hour, and they just do not know what to do with him. Hmm. They do not know how to coach someone that pitches 100 miles an hour. They need someone that throws an 87-mile-an-hour knuckleball or something, but that's just a little bit off topic. But like you said, sometimes it's just out of someone's wheelhouse. It's not something they're comfortable with, and that kind of, I don't know if it's lack of experience or lack of just...
Well, I mean, they had success with Reliant K, so it was not lack of experience.
This is different than Reliant K, though.
In some ways. I mean, they were from the same area. I would say they probably knew each other.
Probably.
At least in some ways. I don't know. I know Reliant K's success, a lot of that has to do with just the time period. They came up a little bit before, like right before the music crashed, the music bubble crashed. You know, they played a lot of festivals, like
they had
Warped
a more
Tour and
pop sound too that kind of lent itself to the mainstream.
But it's still a mystery how this band House of Heroes was not bigger than what they were. But that takes us to our last House of Heroes released, unfortunately, for now at least. You never know.
Fingers crossed.
July 1st, 2016, they released an album called Colors. And this was a release. It depends on where you look. It was released independently. I know Bad Christian, that label, had something to do with the release as well. And when I heard that they were involved with Bad Christian, that's another thing that I'm like, okay, you know, I think that's where a band in Kansas went, and I don't know that that worked for them. That is where King's Kaleidoscope went, and that did work for them. How's this going to work with House of Heroes? Are they going to just come out and cuss, or, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what are they going to do?
Well, there's a few bands. I mean, this is Emery's record label.
Yeah.
And this is where it seems like a lot of bands go that are frustrated with the music industry in general, and specifically the Christian music industry.
Mm-hmm.
I know House of Heroes is famous for saying, yes, that we're a group of guys that are Christian. Some of our members have not been Christian. Some of them have been. But yes, we are a group of Christian guys. but we're not necessarily writing worship songs, and we're just like Gabe said, they created an album completely based on something from World War II, and that's you might say, what does that have anything to do with God? Well, I mean, there's messages of hope in there and other things like that. They do mention God, but that they didn't want to be the cookie cutter Christian band,
right?
And so when you have that kind of attitude, Bad Christian is a great place for you to go. And
right.
the name, I mean, you can look up, Emery has discussed the name many, many different times, but they kind of invite people in that don't fit the cookie cutter mold. And they say, we will let you do what you want here to get the sound that you want. We're just going to help you produce it. So
yeah.
I think this album is just perfect example of how Bad Christian can help someone recapture the sound that made them famous, because this album is, I mean, we're going to rank albums soon, but it's up there towards the top.
You know, and this is another album that the whole album is like a concept. Like the whole album, there's like a theme of, like, I guess the best way to put it is the, you know, people that believe in predestination versus free will. There's a constant battle of that in this album. And I think there's characters, I want to get this right. Eric, who moved back to his home city after a failed pursuit of his dreams. His cousin Axel, who thinks he runs the town. And the love interest, Joni. And this album kind of tells the story about that, and it's a beautiful, beautiful story. The protagonist is Eric, the antagonist is Axel, and they just kind of battle throughout the whole album, you know, that whole predestination versus free will. And then, you know, Joni is kind of, you know,
in the middle,
kind of the triangle, if you will. And ultimately, Axel is unsuccessful in trying to get Joni to run away with him and realizes his life is futile. And by the end of the album, he's locked in prison. And so it's kind of a sad story, but it's awesome. I love albums that are tied together like that.
Yeah, and that goes back to where we talked about maybe, because some of their last albums before this were not full concept albums, and it seems like that's what they excel at and what they want to do. So they go to Bad Christian and they get the license to do what they want, and they tell a story. And I mean, you'll have to go listen for yourself, but like I said, this album is great. I know Colors Run is one of my favorite songs off this album. There's a song called Rat. There's We Make Our Stars, which is really good. And then Feel, which is one of my favorite ones on the album. It kind of gave me some throwback to some old, like, I don't know, the heavier songs that they went to. But that the song Feel just kind of jumped out and slapped me.
Yeah, you mentioned College Run. That's one of my favorite House of Heroes songs of all time. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the kind of the same concept of Meant to Live by Switchfoot.
Yeah.
Some of the lyrics are, why can't I be more? I don't want to fight my father's wars. Nothing comes easy where I come from, so we sweat it out in the concrete sun till the college run. That's kind of relevant today.
Yeah, it is.
So if you're into concept albums, this is another one to check out. You know, you need to listen. This is one of those albums that you can't fully appreciate until you listen beginning to end. You get the whole story, really dive into the lyrics.
Yeah, this is a sit down with your lyrics out album. And again, that's maybe another reason why House of Heroes did not hit it like some of those other bands, because how many times Have you sat down with a lyric book out in the last 5 years and just poured front to back through an album?
That's what I used to do.
Yeah, but how many times in the last 5 years?
Everybody used to digest music.
It's not that way anymore.
Yeah.
And some of their influences, old school influences.
Queen, yeah.
Sometimes you try an old school thing. I mentioned baseball earlier. I'll mention football now. You try an old school defense. The 1985 Bears defense is thought to be the most brutal, best defense of all time. If you use that same exact scheme today, you would get torn apart because that was built around the run game, and all football teams do is throw the ball now. So I'm like you trying to figure out why things didn't work, and maybe House of Heroes was made for another era. And but that doesn't mean that they're not one of the best bands of this era.
Man, so that's the House of Heroes discography. If you've never listened to House of Heroes before, or if you've one of these releases was like, huh, I haven't heard that before, go check them out. This is something to inspire you to go check out some music that has inspired us over the years. House of Heroes, for me, is one of those bands that was always under the radar, but they were always putting out amazing music that made you think, and they did it at a high-quality level their entire career, and I hope someday they come back. I don't know.
I mean, it's only been 4 years since their last release.
Right.
So there is hope, of course, that they do return. Even if it's just a one-off album, they don't even need to tour it. I mean, there's no touring right now anyway.
Yeah.
But I think House of Heroes is a band that kind of almost emphasizes why you started this podcast to begin with. Now, we went through the entire Audio Adrenaline catalog. We went through Kevin Max. These are very well-known people, very well-known bands. But you also wanted to emphasize the people that do not get the publicity that a band like Audio Adrenaline gets on Christian radio. And Kevin Max doesn't necessarily get the same play on Christian radio, but everybody knows who Kevin Max is, and they know, so that a lot of people follow him, and he has his diehard fans. House of Heroes, like I said, there's probably, I would it's be willing to bet 75% of our audience that has it maybe even never heard of House of Heroes, or oh yeah, I remember when they released
Serial Sleepers.
I remember that song.
Yeah.
But I never listened to another song by House of Heroes. Mm. So this is one of those bands that hopefully, if you're listening to this, you do actually go listen to them, and hopefully you enjoy it and help me in my quest to bring them back so that they will play and write more music.
Now, before we head into our top five, I mentioned this in the show so far. Tim Skipper and his wife Stephanie Smith Skipper, who has been on a few House of Heroes songs together, they've put out some music together over the years as part of a project called Copper Lily, and they've put out just, you know, a couple EPs here and there, and they're worth checking out as well, kind of in the same vein as the Grey Havens. But anyway, I wanted to mention that before we head into our top five House of Heroes albums. I will start out. Are you ready?
Dear Lord, do it.
All right, so my number five is the first House of Heroes release, What You Want Is Now. I just thought, you know, and I think that this even might be one of those that could be higher, because this is one of those that I've only discovered like within the last year or two.
Yeah.
And so I really like what I hear from it. You can tell that there's a maturity for their years and their age at the time, but you can also see how much further they're going to go. And so I think that that's a fun part of this album. I really love the guitars on this album. I think that it's an amazing precursor to their goatee, their first couple goatee releases. And I wonder what would have happened if this album would have came out in the mid 90s instead of the mid 2000s.
Yeah.
Same with the rest of their albums. But I think it would have been a bigger deal because, I mean, they did such a good job of creating moments within songs, even early on with What You Want Is Now, that I think would have done a lot better in a different era, as you have mentioned.
So, I'm going to cheat for my number five.
Okay.
My number five is not an album. Oh. It is the Smoke EP.
Okay, that's fine.
So, Suburba and Cold Hard Want are not going to make my list of top five. I know I'm ruining
things. You've already ruined. You're spoiling it.
I'm spoiling things. But I just want to give them an honorable mention because...
Okay.
I re-listened to both of these albums and I was like, wow, these are really good. And I should really think about listening to these more. I listened to the Smoke EP and I was like, okay, I'm definitely going to listen to this one more.
Okay.
So, not an official album, but it is going to slide in there in my number five release from House of Heroes.
You're giving participation awards out too. All right, so that's fine. Number four, I have Colors. This was a really hard, like, two, three, and four was really hard for me. And I would probably even say, if you ask me this tomorrow, it might be different. But in next week and next month and so on. This album, for me, I really... You know, the fact that it's a concept album helps out a lot for me because I really enjoy that. I really love, like, the battle between, like I said, like, predestination and free will. I would say that they had a better concept album that I'll talk about later. But this was a great, great album that... just wasn't as good as another one that they did.
Well, that is also my number four, is Colors. And like you said, this is not because this is a bad album.
No.
A lot of times when you're ranking a band's top five albums, you're like, okay, I guess this will get an honorable mention because I remember a song off that album. No, this is literally me sitting down and like, with an abacus and trying to rank these albums because these albums are that good. And Colors is probably number four because it's just one that I didn't listen to as much. I still listen to it a lot, but, it hasn't been out as long as these other ones. And so I have 15-year relationships with some of these songs and I just wasn't willing to put them, behind Colors. So Colors is number four.
All right, so number three for me is an album that you don't have on your top five, Cold Hard Want.
Okay.
After Suburba for me, which for me was, I wouldn't say it was disappointing, but it was just hard to follow. The End Is Not the End. I really like this song, or this album, a lot more than Suburba. And... even though it was probably their most radio-friendly album, which I usually don't like when bands try to do that, but you know, I think even though it was radio-friendly, they did it really well.
Yes, it's like, a great album,
and you know, I really, you know, I mentioned Touch This Light. I really like American Dream. I really like, I didn't mention this before, Comfort Trap, which is...
I mentioned that one, yeah.
Okay. And, you know, that song is pretty brutal, you know. So, yeah, that is my number three.
my number three, What You Want Is Now.
Okay.
Wow. So, like you mentioned, you had not really heard of this album until probably within the last year.
Right.
I saw the song Mercedes Baby, and I looked this band up. So this is one that, this was my first introduction to House of Heroes, and it's the reason why I'm a fan of House of Heroes, because I love this album. Mm. And it's like, I don't know every word to every song, but again, we've spoken about my memory. I don't know any words to any songs. So this album is number three on my list because I think it is that good.
Hmm. All right. So I have a feeling our number two and number one are identical.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Number two for me is Say No More. This was, for me, this was the first House of Heroes release. Like I said, I have vague memories of What You Want Is Now, but I really, this was when Say No More came out, was when I really fell in love with House of Heroes. And I remember listening to this while I was in college. And I remember, I have some very strong memories of listening to this album while riding the PRT.
The personal rapid transit, for those that do not live in
West Virginia. PRT.
There's a different way of transportation in West Virginia. Google PRT and be horrified.
Yes. It's speaking of being dated. But yeah, I really love this album. I think top to bottom, it's very strong. It's not number one, though.
Gosh, it's close, though, isn't it?
It is.
This album, Say No More, I don't even want to call it my number two album. I want to call it, like, my 1A album, or, like, 1B.
1B, yeah.
Because, like, this is a toss-up for me. And, like I said, I don't know if I can make this my number two album, but I agree that this is, like I said, if this is not their best album, my other favorite album is their best album. But I have a side story. I know at one point in my high school career for AP English, the teacher gave an assignment, and the assignment was create a soundtrack for Hamlet.
Wow.
I used some songs off this album and I put it on there. So I don't remember my reasoning behind it. I just remember it's because this is what I was listening to, and I was like, I'm going to make this fit. So I made it fit in the assignment. I know I put some Flyleaf on there. I put some 100 different things on there, but I made quite the mixtape for my teacher and sent it in. But man, this album is more relevant today than it's ever been. And it's just lyrics, like you said, some of the lyrics that just kind of smack you in the mouth, and you're like, whoa, okay, House of Heroes is here to play. And they, I don't know how else to describe it. It's just 1B on my list.
Okay, so 1A.
1A. I might just switch it to contradict you.
One for me is The End Is Not the End. It is probably, if we did a podcast from the 2000 to 2009 era, that would probably be, I don't know if there's a better album.
For the whole decade?
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, if there is, I'd have to think really hard about it.
What year did Wait for the Siren come out from Project 86?
Like 2012.
Okay. Because I was, that's the first one that popped in my head as like album of that decade. So shout out Project 86. Yeah. But you're not wrong about that either. This album is decade worthy.
Yes.
And that's a big deal. And so, I mean, we've talked about that album a lot. Tune into our bonus episode to hear us talk about it some more. But number one, and like I said, not undoubtedly, because I was listening to Buckets for Bullet Wounds. I was listening to The Invisible Hook. I was listening to songs off that other album. I was like, how can I put this in second place?
Right.
How can I do that? But, I mean, you go listen to album number one, The End Is Not the End. And, the cover photo for that is, I don't know, go Google that album and just be like, yeah. Okay. This is weird that this came out in, what, 2010, 2009?
2008.
Okay. Ish. So, like, that's a weird cover photo to have from 2020 back 12 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just...
Great album. If you have not listened to this, if you haven't listened to House of Heroes at all, listen to this album. The End Is Not the End. Make that your beginning.
They have some music videos. If you are a visual learner,
yes,
you can watch
outstanding music videos.
Yeah, not like a. I mean, they have a few music videos where they put out where it's like the, the band is playing in the garage or whatever.
In the Valley of the Dying Sun from this album, outstanding video.
It did very well on TV's Most Wanted.
All right, so if you can't get enough of House of Heroes,
if you're not tired of us talking yet,
check out our bonus episode, patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. We're going to go down through the songs and talk more about it. We're going to give our picks for album of the week. Are you ready for that?
No.
We have a little bit of time to think about it. Before we head off into the sunset, we want to talk about our... Every way that you can connect with us. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on YouTube. We have a Facebook page. We have a Facebook discussion page, Decent Christian Talk. We have a Twitter account, DC Talk Act 2. And we have an Instagram page, DC Talk Podcast. Connect with us on there. The most best thing you can do is if you know someone that likes House of Heroes, share this with them and see what they think. See if they agree with us. See if they disagree with us. See if they hate us.
We are not on TikTok, so that's probably not the crowd that you want to share.
On what?
TikTok. You know, like the song that Kesha wrote? TikTok. Kesh. Don't stop. Make it pop.
Okay.
Well, we will not be doing any TikTok dances.
You're going to have to tell me about that
in the near future. But, like I said, I've repeated it multiple times. There's people out there listening to this episode. Thank you for listening to this episode. That will not go listen to House of Heroes right after this episode is over. And you are an idiot. No, I'm kidding. But
wow.
Go listen to House of Heroes.
Yes. And in our Facebook group, we will be asking what you guys think. What is your favorite album? And
who do you want us to do next?
Yes, that's a good question.
Kevin Max cannot override that again. We've already done him.
That's right.
I guess we could do him in reverse and start now and go backwards.
He does have a new album coming out.
He
soon,
does.
So.
He does have another band that he was famously in that we might also do in the near future.
We'll do that eventually, maybe.
Possibly. Who knows? But give us some feedback. We'll talk to you probably if I'm in the mood.
Hey, guys, before we head off into the sunset for sure, we don't want to completely avoid what's been going on in the world around us. There's been a lot of violence. There's been a lot of hate. And we just want to say that since day one on this show, I hope if you've listened to us, you know how much we hate racism. And that has not changed. That will not change. And we will not waver from the stance that racism is evil. And there is no way around that. And we're not going to change that. And if you don't like that, I'm sorry, but we don't believe that you can call yourself a Christian and be a racist.
It is hatred. That's what racism is. And as I mentioned before, there's a lot of hatred in the world. And even people that are arguing for racism to be removed from society are using hatred to do it. And so there's a lot of people out there. I mean, you can have Black Lives Matter. You can have All Lives Matter. I mean, that's an argument that we can get into on another day.
And we will.
And
but we just didn't want to...
We don't want to gloss over the fact
yes.
that there's real things going on in the world today. And like I said, do it with love. I was listening to Tony Dungy this week on the Pat McAfee show, and they were talking specifically about Drew Brees, talking about how he did not agree with Colin Kaepernick's protest kneeling during the flag. And I'm sure there's people out there listening that don't agree with it. I just said his name.
Tony Dungy.
Tony Dungy said, it's not wrong for Drew Brees to come out and say, I disagree with this. I don't understand it. And as you saw, Drew Brees has talked to his teammates. He's talked to other people. And he said, this is different now. I understand this is not anti-military. This is not anti-America. This is not anti-flag. This is, we feel like there is a problem in America. And this is the most peaceful way that we know how to do it. And like I said, that's an argument for another day, whether you think kneeling during the national anthem is right or wrong. But Drew Brees, and like Tony Dungy said, that's a good example. It's a conversation. There's yes. not name calling. But before, like I said, before you hit send on that Facebook status that you just hate and disagree with, remember that even if you're doing it from a positive perspective, that it's words on a screen and people don't know your tone. People don't know what yeah. you're saying. If it's a close friend of yours, give them a text, give them a call and say, because there's people that feel very strongly about this.
Yeah.
And say, hey, let's have a conversation about this. I'll explain it from my point of view. You explain it from your point of view. And a lot of times you're going to find that you guys are saying the same thing. You're just using different words that are causing just all kinds of, like I said, the unfriend me now thing, I hate, because that's just giving up and that's worthless. So I don't know. Just think from a standpoint of love. And that's...
And listen.
And listen.
Listen to people. Don't just jump to conclusions. I would challenge you to go and just listen and try to learn. Just try to learn people's, you know, what they're going through. Try to learn their perspective, even though, you know, as a white person myself, I'm not going to understand that fully. But, you know, part of trying to understand that is listening and, you know, maybe being quiet a little bit.
I'll end with this. There was a clip that I learned from where it was an old movie where a guy was standing on his soapbox on the courthouse steps, wherever he was. He was talking about immigrants and black people and they're taking our jobs and these number of different things. And there's two guys standing there in the crowd and they're the main characters of the what's going on. And this guy says, I can't believe that this guy is just spreading this hate. And the other guy says, I don't know, man. It makes a lot of sense. Like, these people are here and that they're ruining our country. Until the guy on the soapbox mentions something that guy is. I know he was talking, he was spreading hate for different races, religions, mm-hmm. all kinds of different things. And he turns to his friend, he says, wait, I'm one of those. He said, it's different now that he's talking about you, isn't it? Mm. And so, again, it's not something that you can necessarily understand, because I'm a white person.
Yeah.
And there, I mean, like I said, we could talk about that all day, but sit and listen and pay attention, because if you can get even one day in the shoes of someone that has been on the wrong side of things, I know you had our good friend Adam Johnson on the podcast probably 100 episodes ago. I don't even know.
Yeah.
But I've learned so much from Adam. And I trust his opinion, and he's a guy I talk to about stuff like this.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I mean, there's 100 words to say. Sometimes saying no words is appropriate, and just try to use your discretion. But also, don't be silent.
Yeah. If you want to hear that episode, it is our propaganda episode from, I mean, it's probably over 50 episodes ago, but it's in our archives. And Just because you might not experience a certain evil doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So I encourage you guys just to listen and love and just be available for people. Hey guys, we love you so much. We hope you're doing okay. I know this pandemic is still going on, but we love you and we're thinking about you. Thank you so much for listening. We will catch you next time.
Don't forget to tip your waitress and waitress. Wait. Dang it. I ruined it. It's over. It's over. It's ended.
All right.
Don't forget to tip your waitress and waitresses. Thanks.